views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I actually had a list of taglines that I've been trying to work on here, but
and
you're
forget
listening
all of them right
no,
now.
No,
yes.
I'm trying to work on it. I've been collecting some stuff, but let me tell you this first. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. This is a show about the paranormal and the conspiracy and UFOs and all that. And I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. How are you doing?
Hello. Good.
How's your week going?
Pretty uneventful here. I've really not been doing much, almost at all. Finally got out of a hotel room in a rental area with my parents, and having my own room has apparently just destroyed any semblance of motivation I had to go out and do anything with my life, so I've just been, like, sleeping all week.
Well, I gotta say, living in hotel rooms is, like, not very motivating. It's like,
it motivates you to get anywhere, anywhere but here, anywhere
right,
else in
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, yeah. So where are you staying now? Friends, or did you rent something? Or?
No, I'm currently living with my parents in the house that they rented before I go out and do something else.
Right, so they rented something. So
yes,
that's how you got
something
out of a hotel, you know.
Yes.
Right. So are you suburban?
We're actually in the same exact neighborhood as... So, yes, we're in the same neighborhood where the house that burned down is.
Really?
So we're right down the street from
you're down the street from
down
your burned
house.
Down house.
Which is pretty odd.
Have you ever seen the movie Gross Point Blank?
I have not.
Well, he leaves town and he ends up coming back and he goes back to his old house because he wants to, like, he's been gone for a decade and he's just mm-hmm. all, okay, well, I got to go back to my old house. And he, like, pulls up and it's now like a 7-Eleven. And he's just all, well, apparently you can't go home, but apparently you can shop there. You know, it's like, and so to live down the street from your burned down house, man, I'm not sure that's good for your parents.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking on that particular choice was, mm-hmm. to be honest. But, hey, the whole neighborhood is just mauled
right
by fire. Just, you know, there's this hill here, and it looks like it's been fighting with all the other hills. There's just, like, patches of trees
right
torn out of it. And
you know, it's interesting to watch what humanity is capable of. So here we are with these amazing people going and fighting and people teaming, fighting the fire, mm-hmm. you know, and people teaming up and like helping one another. And then on my way here today, there's this neighbor of mine and he does this every day. Like I'm constantly looking out the window and seeing him. He's like this, you know, maybe pushing 40, shirtless, beer gutted dude
sure
with like hair that hasn't been combed.
Smoking, the Redding classes.
Smoking a cigarette while basically riding him around the block repeatedly on like a kid's hoverboard thing. One of those things that's like a Segway but without the arm.
Right.
And like he's just constantly like cruising around, standing straight, smoking a cigarette, shirtless, in my apartment complex.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting
right
to see the span of what of what humans are capable of, you know. We're capable of, you know, I'm sure I've said this on here before, but I used to work at this Bog Bean in Anderson, which was like a movie and used bookstore and stuff like that. And every day at like 1, I'd be working and looking out the window, and I'd see this guy come riding by with a Raiders beanie on, riding what is obviously his kid's dirt bike, carrying a 40 in a paper bag at like 1:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like looking at him going like, I either made some really good decisions in my life or some really bad ones because, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, you say people are capable of pretty much anything in the right circumstances. That's true. But we're not under the wrong circumstances, we're pretty much useless.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You know,
so it's just a matter of the environment, really.
Yeah, I had a kid when I was 24, right? Harley, our youngest. And it makes me wonder what type of person, because up until I had a kid, I was not exactly kicking ass in this world.
Sure.
You know, I was off and on homeless, you know, kind of whatever drugs. I was kind of, you know, doing my thing and nothing. I had nothing. And so I had this kid, and then all of a sudden I have to step my life up.
Right.
And you know, it was 17 and a half years ago at this point. And like, I do often wonder, like, man, if I had not had that kid, who would I be today? You know?
Be riding a drinking fork.
Would I? I don't know. Would I have found inspiration someplace else? You know? Because, like, having a kid, like, most of my successes in life have been based mainly off of fear. You know, fear is a
like
major...
Like, I can't let this kid die.
That's totally, man. Yeah, like, I
that's
like,
where I draw the line.
I've killed tons of fish, lost tons of pets, and then here I am, like, holding a baby, and I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to do, you know? So, like,
oh,
fear...
Oh, man, I need some money. I need to get some of this dirt off the walls.
Yeah, totally, you know? I wake up one morning, and she's sitting in the corner. She's, like, one, and she's, like, chewing her tongue or something, and I'm like, what is this? And I reach in her mouth, and I pull out a mosquito hawk. She's sitting in the corner of my house eating a mosquito hawk, and I'm just all like,
well,
man, I'm going to have
to... She's more useful than I was at
Yeah, I got to kick up my parenting game, you know.
Or she takes care of the insects. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so that's terrible, man. That's absolutely terrible. All right, so our guest tonight is exciting. We have Earl Grey. We're going to have to find out what's up with that name. That name is Over the Top.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling there's going to be some great story behind it.
There better be.
Yeah.
Unless he tells us that he's the 19th Earl of Grey.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there really was an Earl of Sandwich.
I know, and I love that. Yep. That's one of my favorite facts about...
Sandwiches?
Reality, basically. Yeah. About just life, the universe, right. People, everything.
Right, right, yeah. Totally. So Earl Grey is... Man, he's got a long title. All right, so let's bring up the title here. Earl Grey is the Assistant State Director of Southern California, a chief at MUFON, a chief field investigator, and star team at MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what the Mutual UFO Network is, it's a collection of researchers who really sort of try to follow the scientific principle and collect data on UFO sightings.
Yeah.
And if you're anything like me and you're a nerd, you first heard of MUFON on The X-Files.
We don't have any nerds listening to the show, Chauncey.
Yeah, yeah. Jared raised his hand. Jared knows. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been The X-Files for me, except I was born later. So for me, it was Fringe, but same right. idea.
All right. You know, I don't know. How much time do we got here? About 2 minutes. All right. You know Jake, who I work with, you used to work with, I do the Being Found show with? He was going off about
I have no memory of my former coworkers.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. Clarify. He was going off about how he's been marathoning his way through all of the X-Files.
Oh, boy.
And
is
that,
he ready to come on the show?
Yeah. But that it was a really interesting sort of timeline of the evolution of the personal computer and cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Because as you watch each season back to back, you know, it's like in the very first season, she's like Doogie Howser, you know, she's always like writing her little thing at the end. And like it's fully like green text on a black screen, you know, and stuff. And their cell phones are huge. And in the first season, they didn't even have them at all. They got to get to a phone booth to call the main office, you know. And then he also said it was a really interesting timeline of people's glasses.
Yeah.
That glasses were, like, all kind of wiry and weird in the beginning, and then they got all kind of fashionable towards the end.
Well, the truth is out there
in
terms of glasses.
Is out there, and so is a commercial break, which is what we're coming up on to. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Earl Grey, from the Mutual UFO Network. Much too loud, running up and down the stairs.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Earl Gray. Earl, you have a very long title. Let me cover this here. Assistant State Director, Southern California, MUFON, Chief Field Investigator, Star Team at MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. Did I get everything?
Yeah, I'm also actually a member of Kathleen Martin and Denise Stoner's extraterrestrial research team now, so you have to, I guess I have to amend that on my business card elsewise.
Totally. You're going to have a business,
I'm a busy guy.
You're going to have a business card that has like another little flap that flaps down so that you can cover your big title.
Yeah.
You know, our very first guest that we ever had on this show was Dev Rooney. At the time, I'm not sure what she does now, but she was the assistant director of the Northern California MUFON, and she was our very first guest. We had like five shows where we were first starting out. We didn't really kind of know what we were doing, so we were just kind of winging it, and she was like our first guest, and really it was a great success. And
that's why we have guests.
And that's why we have guests all the time now. And we're really happy to have you back on the show. But the first thing that I got to tell my audience is your name is Earl Gray. And there is no way that that doesn't raise an eyebrow. How'd you get a name like Earl Gray?
Well, I'll tell you how that happened. And it does raise eyebrows sometimes. I'm a musician, and around 1989 or so, I was playing a lot of gigs out here in Los Angeles. And I happened to hang out at an old sort of a coffee house gathering place called the Iguana that was out here in the San Fernando Valley. And it was sort of a hangout spot where Don Joe from the band X would hang out. I'd wind up, you know, opening up and sometimes even jamming a couple times with Xing Cervenka from X. And, you know, everybody had their little musician pseudonyms.
Well, this show knows that I am a punk rock, garage rock fan, so I am definitely a fan of X, so I'm excited already.
There you go. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, my birth name is Earl Anderson, and I was playing one club where Eric Anderson would play, and they would, you know, sometimes our audiences would get confused. They'd come out on the wrong night. So everything kind of led me to, you know, I sort of need a different, you know, musician name and something more memorable. And so I was, you know, I guess I was at the store or something. I saw a box of Earl Grey tea, of course, and I started laughing. I was like, wow, that's free advertising. You know, I'd play a lot of acoustic gigs and coffee houses, you
right.
know. And so there I am on the menu, right? You
right.
know?
That
so
is
that was
funny.
1989, and now my kids call me Earl Grey. Everybody, nobody really knows me as Earl Grey Anderson, except, you know, I kind of use that at MUFON, the full title. But Earl Grey, I don't know, it served me pretty well, I thought. I haven't had any, you know, not yeah. any real negative
well, with
situations with it. I guess it could scare an experiencer or something if they thought perhaps I was a hybrid or
right.
so far.
You know, with
so
a name like Chauncey, I haven't gotten many nicknames throughout my life, so I'm impressed. I need to come up with a moniker.
No, Chauncey's perfect.
I know another Chauncey, actually.
Do you?
Another musician.
Well, clearly he has to die.
Right, totally.
There can only be one.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so without going into MUFON yet, really, what led you there? You know, what was, you know, everybody has a first experience that really got them interested in this stuff. You know, what
sure.
was your life that sort of steered you in that direction?
For myself, it happened at a very young age. My mom was Howard Hughes' personal secretary. She worked out at the Hughes Aircraft Building that was out here, you know, on Santa Monica Boulevard in Sepulveda, I think was kind of the area where it was at. And she used to speak with him through an intercom system. At this point, he was being very reclusive. And I think my mom had originally been hired as a stenographer. She was, you know, one of those who could do shorthand without batting an eye. You know, everything that she would write was in shorthand, really.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, she was working for Howard Hughes, and he started sending her out to locations to do his bidding and to, you know, to also do the stenography work, I guess. So my mom started working in military, deep underground military labs. Now, when I was about 5 years old, she told me this story where she said, well, there's a little city under the desert that people don't know about, son. I went out there, and you go down in an elevator. It takes you way, way, way down, and the doors open up, and there's a little town, you know, where they get around in golf, you know, golf carts. You know, they had a movie theater, cafes. And this was back in the 1950s. As best as I can, as I've been able to gather, it was probably around 1956 to 58 when she was going out there. So that was, you know, one of those things where as a little kid, your parent told you something and it's kind of, you know. I didn't really think a whole lot about it.
I don't know. It's got my imagination reeling as is, you know, makes me think of all these great movies and stories, and, man, that would fire up my imagination at that age, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was the beginning of the space age. I mean, I was growing up watching the Mercury launches and all that. And later on, you know, I mean, my mom was more or less breaking her security clearance telling me that. But, you know, I guess that she thought that I was young enough that I would forget about it. Problem is I kept bringing it up. And I don't think it bothered her too much at first because she had retired from the business. She was trying to be a housewife. But later on, she went back into aerospace. She actually wound up being a headhunter for Lockheed Skunk Works, as well as she worked a lot for Rocketdyne out here and the Rockwell Science Center, but primarily for Lockheed. So around the mid-70s, she really clammed up. She wouldn't talk about it at all because she was using her security clearances again. But going back when I was a kid, my mom never really talked about them in the same subject line, but my mom seemed to know an awful lot about extraterrestrial life. I mean, she would bring it up every once in a while, and she would say things like, you know, that it was a very real phenomena, that we know about it, that UFOs, you know, while some are hoaxes, it's actually a real thing, that you should laugh at the subject. And so I grew up hearing, you know, about the underground lab that my mom worked in. And then I grew up hearing her talking very authoritatively about extraterrestrial life, as if it was a given, as if we knew that it was out there already. Now, it wasn't till later in my life, maybe when I had read The Day After Roswell or something. I wasn't really a UFO guy, you know. I didn't really read the literature. I read a lot of science fiction. I was always obsessed with outer space. But then I started putting it together. It's like, oh, you know, so the underground labs have something to do with the extraterrestrial thing. So I started getting a little more pointed with my questions.
Right. She didn't like that.
And at this point, yeah, my mom would get mad, you know, when I would bring it up. Just like, I can't talk about it.
Earl, let me cut you off there. I like where this is headed to, but we are coming up on our commercial break, and I don't want to miss any of it. So you are listening to Earl Gray from the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Summertime is fun time in Northern California. We're Billy and Patrick with your personal invitation to have more fun in a brand new Kia from Renting Kia, your official summertime fun headquarters.
Celebrate this summer with no payments for 90 days in a new 2018 Kia Niro. This sporty 50-mile-per-gallon crossover hatchback hybrid is showing up everywhere in NorCal.
I've got one. I love it.
And nothing says summer like the 2018 Kia Soul. That's the cool crossover that sits up nice and high, has tons of storage. Like all Kias, it's America's best value. We have a Soul, and it's perfect.
The 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento is here. There's room for your camping gear. It has power for towing and is at home on or off-road.
Get yours today and make no payments until fall.
No cost. Lifetime oil changes and tire rotations are yours when you take home your new Kia from Redding Kia, proud sponsor of community events like the Mosquito Serenade.
Finance offer on approval of credit ends 8/10/2018. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair is coming Saturday, September 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't miss your chance to enjoy lots of free samples of health-related items. There'll be a smart chicken hot dog barbecue. Be sure to bring the kids for the kitty carnival and great live music from Jimmy Limo. Find out about organic produce, organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and so much more. And the event is absolutely free. The Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 221 Locust Street in Reading.
The world's largest dinosaurs are coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park May 5th through September 9th. You can explore the amazing biology of supersized dinos in this epic new exhibition, great for all ages. The world's largest dinosaurs is organized by the American Museum of Natural History and presented by Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, with major support from U.S. Bank and Shasta Regional Medical Center. The world's largest dinosaurs is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Wasteland, and our guest, Earl Gray, from the Mutual UFO Network. Earl, when we left and we went to commercial, you were telling us that you had gotten to a point where you really started to get interested in aliens and UFOs beyond reading science fiction, and your mom had known something due to her work, and your questions were starting to get a little more poignant and a little more to the point. Although I think I just was a little repetitive there, but can you pick us up from there?
Sure. Well, you know, there were a couple of, you know, just a few instances where my mom became more transparent and started talking. And I found that if I took her to movies, I could get a little more info. And it kind of became a thing. And probably when I really hit the jackpot was I took her to see Star Wars when it first came out, 1977. And there weren't a whole lot of people in the theater. It was the first week the film had come out. I'd read about it in Time magazine and took her, you know. And after the film, she started talking about it. She was really excited. She was saying things like, you know, son, Star Wars is not all that far-fetched. There really is intelligent life out there. We know about it. And she started talking a bit, and then it was like she would catch herself, and then she'd clam up. But, you know, for some reason, that film really moved her, and I got a little bit more out of her. She actually said that, yeah, we know. I mean, it's already a given. It's certain circles in the government and aerospace. She didn't elaborate on that, so I took her to see the movie E.T. a few years ago. Kind of like, well, let's see what we can hear now, you know. And the only comment she had after that film was that, well, it's a cute film, son, but I don't think they're all that nice. And that was it.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's worrying.
I don't like that.
And I don't know that I agree with that, you know, myself, just in my own research as a you know, chief field investigator for MUFON. I'm finding that there's more that while some people are horrified by the ontological change that happens in their worldview and their philosophy of things, that once they get past that, I think that it was Edgar Mitchell's group, the free research group, they did many, you know, they pulled like thousands of experiencers, and 60% of them were asked the question, if you could stop being taken today, would you have it end? 60% of them said no, that it had actually been a positive in their lives.
Yeah.
That they had, you know, things like psychic abilities and empathy. And so, you know, I don't even know, you know, I think that my mom was coming from a military point of view, that you know, it's just obviously a national security threat.
Totally, a post-atomic point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, my mom, towards the end of her life, she kept getting unrelated cancers. She kept getting, I mean, she must have been radiated. And we finally talked about it towards the end of her life. She was dying. She was on her deathbed. And she became more transparent again. You know, it was right around where Bill Clinton had actually said there is an Area 51, and the reason why he had to disclose that was because there was a successful lawsuit that was brought against them by a bunch of former employees who suffered health problems from whatever they had been exposed to. And so I tried to get my mom to lawyer up and to go after them. You know, it's like, you know, you've got to go to Europe. You know, I mean, my mom had this extra money coming into where she would go take a Europe trip every single year, you know, but I felt like, well, you know, nothing's worth your life. And her comment towards, you know, it was maybe 2 weeks before she actually passed away, was that she knew exactly what she had been getting into, that she was doing her patriotic duty for her country just as a soldier would do, and taking the risks of going into battle, and that she wouldn't sue anybody and she wouldn't change anything if she could. So that kind of, that was that, you know. And that was all that she really disclosed to me, you know, other than that she worked in deep underground labs in the middle of the desert. She talked about, I mean, she knew people like Wernher von Braun. She said that she knew him. He was a charming man, she said. She would sometimes in my life, you know, she would punctuate conversations with these, you know, kind of outrageous things. But it's like, well, you know where what I was working in. And I actually did know Wernher. He was very charming. He called me Betty Grace. That was her first middle name.
All right,
sort of like as a pet name.
Right. That is absolutely amazing, and it gets you here to MUFON. For our audience, maybe you can give us a brief explanation of what MUFON is.
Well, we are the oldest the oldest UFO research group in the world. Next year will be our 50-year anniversary. We have 3,000 members, or I think it's 4,000 members worldwide. And the thing that's distinctly amazing about MUFON is that you can become a hands-on UFO researcher with a caseload. I started looking into MUFON. I knew that, you know, I became very armchair detective about the UFO phenomena after my mom passed away. That's when I started actually getting very serious about it. And MUFON offered me the chance to go out and research UFOs with, you know, contemporary, you know, people will, you can go to the MUFON, you know, MUFON.com, and you can fill out a sighting report if you see a UFO. And you will get people that are knowledgeable in the phenomena and that will go out and will research your UFO for you, see if there are other corroborating witnesses that may have seen the same UFO. And it's, you know, we use a scientific method. More or less, we use the guidelines that Dr. J. Allen Hynek set back during the Project Blue Book period back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So, or 60s and 70s. And that's the way that we research them. You know, it's the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of human of humanity is our little creed. And it really is that way.
So as a field, as a field investigator, you know, I think the number one thing on a lot of listeners' minds who are captivated by this, have you found anything really quite amazing when you're out there doing the field investigations? Anything mind-blowing?
I've had some mind-blowing cases. Mind-blowing cases.
That's the best answer to that question.
That's my favorite answer.
I don't know if I just have a propensity for it or if I've just been lucky, but I've been doing this for about 3.5 years now, and I have 16 confirmed unknowns, which, you know, an unknown is how we classify actual UFO. And we want evidence. That's the main thing. Everybody seems to have or has heard a UFO story, but we want witnesses. We want Geiger counter readings if there was a landing, or you know, it's just like we approach it very scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the phenomena has fuzzy edges to it, you know, I mean, the more I look into it, the more I think that quantum entanglement has a lot to do with how they travel, how they seem to have telepathic influence on us, the way that they can communicate with people. But I've had, you know, I've had many experiencer cases where people have been taken or visited. Some of them, yeah, I mean, I have one guy who is a Homeland Security agent, actually a very important one locally here. And from the age 7 up to right now, he's had recurring visits from extraterrestrial entities. And this is a guy who, you know, I mean, he's looking after our national security, you know, and airports and such. So, you know, I have people from all walks of life. I had another case last year that actually got for the book that MUFON just put out, The Year's Best Cases. And I had two women in Azusa, California here, who took chase after two UFOs in their car. We had another witness who saw the same thing in the next town over. They saw the UFOs coming, and he saw them going. So I had a third corroborative witness on the case. And more or less, these women chased after
Earl. Mm-hmm. Let me cut you off there. We're coming up on the commercial break. We'll pick this story up when we come back. You're listening to Earl Gray here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Hi, Lance Beck here, president of North State Security. Celebrating our 50th year of operations in Northern California, I wish to thank the Shasta County community for such great support over the last five decades. In appreciation, North State Security is having a contest. We are giving away $1,000 in gift certificates, $500 from R&R Meats, and $500 from Costco to the individual who come closest to guessing the total number of accrued man hours of North State Security officers have worked throughout the past 50 years. North State Security allows but one entry per family. Provide your guests for total hours worked in the 50-year period. Full name, home address, and phone number, then submit either in person or by mail to our headquarters. That is North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue, zip code 96002. The winner will be announced Friday, November 30th. Submit your pick on total number of hours security officers have worked in the past 50 years for a chance at $1,000 in gift certificates. Submit on a full sheet of paper in person or mail to North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue. Best of luck and stay safe.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest Earl Gray from the Mutual UFO Network, better known as MUFON. When we went to commercial break, you were telling us about one of your experiences as a field investigator where the two women had seen the UFO and taken off chase after it. Guy in the town over saw the UFO coming and the women coming after it. Is that right?
The women saw it approaching, and the guy in the next town over saw them leaving. It was two UFOs. I guess you would call them orbs. They were these orangish-red orbs about the size of a car. And they saw two of these that were just sort of chasing over the treetops, and they took chase after it in their car. Drove sort of a circuitous path through downtown D'Souza, and finally they got caught up in a cul-de-sac near a park that's in D'Souza. They watched the two orbs continue towards the, I guess it's the San Bernardino Mountains or the San Gabriel Mountains, the range that's there. And they were hovering doing what we call the falling leaf motion, sort of going up and down, just hovering there. So they're watching this, and then there's this light behind them. They turn around, and hovering over the house that was next to the park was a full-on, best I can describe it, a flying saucer. It was 35 feet approximately, 35 feet across, and it looked like it had camouflage or sort of it was blinking in and out of existence as it hung there. So you would see the saucer, and then you would see it disappear for a second, and you would still see the little orbs that were under it, which seemed to, the woman thought that it was probably something to do with the propulsion system. So they watched this hanging there, and it hung there for a while, and I guess about a couple of minutes, and then it just took off. It was gone. Now these two women were very intelligent. I grilled them and grilled them. They'd been interviewed, I guess, three different times, just extensively. Our state director, Jeff Krause, came out and interviewed them, independent of myself. And it was a good enough case that BuzzFeed actually came out and they did a episode on this UFO sighting. And there you go. That's kind of the end of that story.
Right.
But it was a really good and confirmed, and that was actually chosen as one of the better UFO cases of last year.
Right, right.
And because that was my case.
Because of all the corroboration. You know, we have guests on this show, and some of them are, when it comes to aliens, it seems like some people have this idea of what they're up to and some sort of global conspiracy thing. There are these people who are mentally connected and communicating with Zeta Reticuli. And then there are these sort of nuts and bolts researchers that are all about the facts, the paperwork, and putting this stuff down. And so I bring this up to let our listeners know that MUFON is while the members may have their separate belief systems and thoughts, what MUFON itself is collecting is really sort of nuts and bolts facts and testimonies and very scientific, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's something
I mean,
really
respect
about. I mean,
we would have brought out a Geiger counter to the hover point. We would have, you know, done soil samples, but the gentleman that owned the house was adamantly against it. You know, I guess that he was a religious fellow. And he more or less, you know, his whole attitude was, get off my property. So
I see.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to follow it up as well as I would have liked to have, because I believe we would have, you know, it was hovering over this old tree, and I think that we probably would have gotten material evidence.
You know,
at least, you know, a Geiger counter hit off of it.
Right.
But that's the way we do it. We're very scientific about it.
We don't have too much more time in the interview, so I want to ask you a question that I like to ask any UFO researcher, and I realize this is conjecture. It's a little contrary to what MUFON does, but I'm always curious about what the intention is of these alien visitors. Do you have any speculation, or have you come across anything that really sort of tells us the intention? Like, why are they even here? Why would they abduct people? Why be here so secretively? You know, do you get what I'm asking?
Yes. Well, my personal view, and it doesn't mean that this is the reality, but it's just, we, like you're saying, we all kind of course, have, you know, what our personal thoughts on the issue. And I think that they may be doing something about human evolution. I think that we're kind of a dangerous species, for one thing. I mean, just look at the wars, and you look how they, you know, how we've had UFOs that have hovered over and even shut down missile systems. They're obviously trying to tell us something. And there are those that believe that they're trying to kick up our evolutionary, you know, path a little quicker before we destroy ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I kind of think of Earth as a wild animal park. I think that, you know, they come here, they tranquilize us, they track certain people, they do medical experiments, and it reminds me very much of an animal sanctuary and how the caretakers sort of treat the animal sanctuary, and maybe that's what we are.
Yeah, I was actually talking about
that. Hypothesis guy.
I think I was talking about this a show or two back, where basically I grew up watching nature shows, and it's not like the monkeys knew they were being videotaped and tracked, and that all the rest of us were sitting back here watching monkeys thinking how interesting it is. And that might be what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, I think that we haven't had full disclosure. I think that it may actually be our visitors that don't want us to have full disclosure. They would kind of destroy what they're doing right now.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing how some of these science fiction shows and writers, you know, end up stumbling across things that are truths and stuff like that. And one of those truths might be this Star Trek Prime Directive, where, you know, maybe we're hovering on some level where we're getting close to figuring it out for ourselves, but we're not ready for the communication, you know, where we're getting close to being there where it's undeniable. But maybe they're saying, like, no, we don't want this crazy monkey channel up in our space station, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. I mean, you know, nobody wants a rhino in their space
station. That's logical. Fuck, you know.
I think the prime directive might be a very real thing. That maybe Gene Roddenberry knew something. I don't know. He was old Navy, I guess, wasn't he?
Yeah, but they don't even have to know anything. I mean, human imagination, you know, I think a big part of the problem is that human imagination, you know, ends up creating these science fiction shows, and then when people start to propose it as a real thing, people go, oh, well, Gene Roddenberry already came up with that. And you can say, well, yeah, he was smart. He came up with a totally plausible answer. That doesn't mean that the answer is not true. You know, I find that anything that has been made into something fiction, if you bring it up as a possible real thing, people kind of automatically kind of scoff at it a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, there is that. And of course, the phenomena has had a ridicule factor from, you know, day one. But there's obviously a lot of people in the government that take it very, very seriously. We're seeing the release of some of these videos from, you know, the To the Stars group now that were, you know, the Nimitz affair that happened in 2004 apparently was a real thing. You know, there's still some question marks around the details of it, but, you know, it was certainly real enough that they sent up a bunch of F-18s to you know, go after it. And, yeah, that's, you know, it's very serious, you know, taken very seriously in the government and in the military. But there's the scoff factor that happens out here. And it's still there to a certain extent, but it isn't as bad as it used to be. I mean, now it's kind of cool if you see a UFO. and that's the problem, you know. I mean, I mean, 95% of what I have to do for MUFON is tell people why what they saw wasn't a UFO, you know, because everybody wants to see one now. And there's a lot of drones and a lot of Chinese lanterns, and, you know, Mars has been really bright lately. And then we've got Elon Musk shooting stuff up from Vandenberg over here.
Right.
I think we had 18 different UFO reports on the Dragon 9 ship that he sent up last year. I had to close about half of those myself. It was about an hour's worth of paperwork for each one. But there you go.
Right.
Worth it when you get to the real UFO.
Well, I'm really a prime example of this. You know, I have never seen a UFO. I have never had a paranormal experience. I just have talked to enough people who have that I find it incredibly interesting, and I want to know more, you know. We're coming up on the end of the show here. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and how they can find out about MUFON?
Certainly. Well, we have losangelesmufon.com. Or MUFONLosAngeles.com, which is our local group here. I encourage everybody to go to MUFON.com, the main website for our organization. You can become a member, or if you so desire, we need field investigators. We have a lot of UFO sightings here in Southern California, and I'll put you to work. I mean, you'll be mentored, and we'll put you to work. And you can do that by going to MUFON.com and just click on how to become a field investigator. That's what I did, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. Love to have you. Love to have you on again. I can totally tell that we could have gone on through a couple more. We probably could have spent the entire show on your one investigation, because, you know, there's a lot there, you know. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
it's an investigation. If it warrants an hour's worth of paperwork, I'm sure it warrants an hour's worth of conversation. All right, you've been listening to Earl Gray here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.